This Wednesday is Anzac Day, and on that day, World War II veteran and former POW Max Eddie Gilbert will be marching in Melbourne. In fact, he's the last remaining veteran well enough to march behind his unit's banner, Gull Force, which comprised of 1,100 diggers sent to the island of Ambon, north of Darwin, back in December 1941. Ambon was then part of the Dutch East Indies, and the Australians were sent in to help reinforce the Dutch forces. But after heavy fighting, they were quickly overrun by a Japanese invasion force, and most of the soldiers were taken prisoner. In the 3.5 years that followed, the POWs suffered a death rate rivalling that of Sandakan. 3/4 of the Australians captured on Ambon died before the war's end. They died of overwork, malnutrition, disease, and from the brutality of the Japanese captors. Max sent us a letter a little while ago to remind us of the events at Ambon and to make sure that the memory of his mates is never forgotten. Now, aged in his 90s, I spoke with Max from his home in Boronia, Victoria.
Thank you, Ryan. Lovely to be with you.
Max, just tell us what happened on Ambon in 1942. You hadn't been there long, had you?
No, we hadn't. We arrived there probably about the middle of December 41. It was late January that the invasion started. So we had very, very little time to settle in and to get to know anything about the island. It was on the 30th and the 31st of January, during that morning, the actual invasion occurred. Before that, there had been, of course, for some weeks, a bombing and reconnaissance planes flying over. But the actual landing occurred on that night. And for us, the engagement lasted only 3 days. We were very quickly overwhelmed by far more soldiers and much better equipped, obviously. And our officers decided that it was a hopeless situation. And on the 3rd of February 1942, we became prisoners of war.
And so Max, outmanned and outgunned, was that 3 days of fighting before your capture. How intense was that?
I've always been relieved that I wasn't ever brought face-to-face with the enemy. I was part of my company's mortar detachment and miles away from where the fiercest of the fighting took place. So most of my comrades and that were engaged in quite some bitter hand-to-hand fighting, whereas I was sending mortars to where we thought they would be doing the most damage. And so it was only on the day I became a prisoner and was starting to march back to the camp, became the prison camp, that I saw my first Japanese.
And Max, as you marched to that camp, what did you expect? What did you fear?
See, we had been told before we even left Australia that the Japanese never ever took prisoners. And there was some truth in that. So we probably had mixed feelings as to what on earth was going to happen to us. But we got a taste very early of what we might expect from our captors, because a couple of chaps managed to get out several months after captivity. The Japs had said to us, if anybody escapes and we are able to capture them immediately, we will take somebody from the hut that they came from and taken away and executed. Well, we saw that they weren't kidding, because a couple of chaps did get out. They lasted about 2 days out of the camp. They were brought back, paraded before us, they were taken away, and we never saw them again. So it gave us a fair idea of how ruthless our captors could and had been. But then the next very nasty incident, a number of chaps had been getting out of the camp under the wire at night time, getting down to the nearest local village to obtain food. The Japanese realised and woke up to the fact that some were getting out. So they waited one night for them to come back. They found this weak spot in the fence, and they waited for them to come back and grab them. Eventually, 11 chaps were taken out of the camp and were strung up outside Japanese headquarters and beaten for several days, then taken away, mm-hmm. and that's the last we heard on. 11 of them were buried in a mass grave some distance from the camp. So, a horrible example of how ruthless our captors could be.
Mm. You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Max Eddie Gilbert. Max is a World War II veteran and a former POW held in a Japanese POW camp in Ambon. Max, what about life for you, Max? How hard was it?
Well, it wasn't long. It's certainly 1943. The work parties really started in earnest, and we were engaged in loading and unloading ships, digging tunnels, carrying ammunition, unloading aerial bombs from a ship. And the Japs insisted on loading about 100 tons of those aerial bombs into a hut inside the camp perimeter. In February 1943, the first of our planes that we saw since the war, three American Liberators arrived to bomb Ambon, but a stick of bombs fell on the camp, fell near that bomb dump, and within minutes the whole thing had exploded. There were about 100 tons of aerial bombs in that pile. The explosion destroyed a big part of the camp, killed about 10 or 11 of our fellows, including our doctor. Not surprisingly, I suppose, the attitude of the and the treatment from the Japanese worsened. Here we were hitting back at them.
Mm.
So gradually, as the years progressed, the work parties became more arduous. The food rations were from time to time reduced. Mind you, our ration was mostly rice and a bit of sweet potato. And disease that started to take its toll.
And Max, how many POWs survived Ambon?
121 of, what was it, 530. 121 were recovered on the 10th of September 1945, quite almost a month after the war finished. Two of those were so emaciated that they died a week after being recovered. So 190 of us actually got home.
And Max, how did you make it? How did you keep yourself going?
Yes, I thought that might come up. It's a hard question to answer, but it had to be a number of factors. The way I put it, I must have chosen my parents wisely to start with. I had good genes, good immune system. I was very skinny. Still am. I say that because, from my recollection, it was the big men who died first, were needing more nutrition than I did. And again, I repeat that from time to time, every few months, our rations would be reduced. So that come 1945, and I would like to quote these figures because they alone tell quite a story, Fran. In January 1945, there were three deaths in the camp, in February 11, in March 14, in April 24, in May 47, in June 72, in July 93.
Mm.
There were 121 of us survived. How long did we have? It was three things, Fran. It was starvation, malnutrition, disease like beriberi, dysentery, malaria, tropical ulcers. There was nothing to treat any of these things for. So they were all elements in destroying us.
Max, I think it's impossible for anyone who hasn't experienced to imagine the hardship and the trauma of it all. I think most Australians, think we know the Australian POW story, and we think of Sandakan, or we think of the Thai-Burma Railway by and large. Mm. Most of us don't know about Ambon or don't know much about Ambon.
Well, I guess that's why I wrote my letter. Please let me say this, because it's so important, mateship. If you had a mate or more than one mate, you were blessed in a way. You had moral and practical support throughout the most of the years. I was lucky to have three wonderful mates for all my army life until one by one they died at Ambon. But we supported one another just by our very presence, shared any food that we could scrounge, and we did become expert scroungers, I must say. So mateship was an important element in my survival, I'm quite sure.
Max, it's an important story for all of us to hear and know. Thank you very much for sharing it with us on Breakfast, and march well on Anzac Day.
Thank you for the opportunity, Fran. Cheerio.
That's Max Gilbert. He's a World War II Gulf Force veteran and a former POW. And in 1946, the incidents which followed the fall of Ambon, including the massacre of more than 300 Australian and Dutch prisoners of war near Laha Airfield, became the subject of one of the largest ever war crimes trials. 93 Japanese personnel were tried by an Australian military tribunal at Ambon. It's 9 minutes to nine.